And you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for staying with us. Stay right where you are, because Community Guard information is coming up for you very, very shortly. Appeals relating to a burglary in Letterkenny, criminal damage in Lifford, criminal damage in Letterkenny, theft in Falkara, and theft from a car in Ballybuffet, reports of antisocial behaviour. All of that will be covered here first on the 9 till noon show as part of Community Garda information with Garda Sean Sweeney today. So stay tuned for that. You will not, it's useful, and you might be able to help in solving some of these crimes. Just to remind you of the text line, which has been really busy today, of course, 086 60 25000, 086 60 25000. Caroline's on the phones taking your calls on 07491 25000. We were speaking to John about illegal dumping a little earlier on. I live on a road near a cafe, and every single morning I pick up the rubbish outside where people ate and just opened the door and threw the rubbish onto the street. Sickening, isn't it? Another, we need to start a campaign to make Donegal the cleanest county in Ireland now before the tourism season kicks in. Yeah, really something high profile. Let's get some signs out. You know, nice signs, by the way, out where there are hot spots. Embarrass people into not dumping. You know, a question along the lines of, you know, do you want to do this to your county or something like that? Do you know your neighbour is going to have to pick this up? I don't know, something a little bit innovative in these areas where they are. Nice signs, you know what I mean, that we can take and move around if need be, but just to remind the litterer that there is consequences to their actions, because everything else isn't working really very well, is it? So let's get some signs in that challenges them. Are you sure you want to dump that package? Let's stick them up there. And let's do it now, so that by the time maybe we come to the summer season, we've changed people's mindsets a little bit. What about signs saying, do you know you can dispose of plastics and bottles for free? Or do you know you can dump anything with a plug for free? We have to start thinking outside the box, in my view. A few nice signs, obviously we don't want to make a mess where to prevent a mess, but some nice signs in the hot spots, and let's directly appeal to the persons so that at that moment where they do what they're going to do, they have to think about it. So they have to look at this sign, read what it has to say, be told their neighbour is going to have to pick this up, or potentially their neighbour, you know what I mean, and go, right, I'm not going to do it. And if they still continue to do that after that, well then, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. But I just think something like that where it's a little bit innovative, you know, protect Donegal, protect your county, whatever it might be, however we have to phrase it, a psychologist can help us with the phraseology to try and deter people. And also in these areas, inform them of where and how you can dispose of stuff for free. In terms of nappies, let's put a sign up saying, you know, when your baby grows up, would you want them to do what you're about to do? I don't know what it is. Is something different that involves a little bit of psychology in these hot spots? They're not everywhere, but I think we need to try something along those lines. Try it for a month, see if it makes a difference. Well done, John. You're so passionate about this subject, and you are right. You're so right in all that you've said. Just keep up the great work. That comes in from Mary. Morning, Greg. In relation to rubbish, I think bins should be compulsory in all households. Lots of houses don't have bins and they have to push the rubbish somewhere. Well, yeah, that's anything that requires more rules or mandates, I'm a wee bit uncomfortable with. But at the end of the day, we have to think of the wider picture and protect our beautiful county and region. Greg, there's one man in our area that dumps and burns his rubbish alongside the road. He used to dump his feces until he was jarred about it. Okay, thanks. I haven't had breakfast yet, thankfully. Hi, regarding the littering, I think we're living in a time when a lot of people's attitudes are, it's not my problem, it's not my fault, someone else can do it. People want everything for nothing. Perhaps the council needs to up their game. Well, I'm trying to be solution-focused, and I think I've come up with a reasonable suggestion, something we can try anyway that will cost very, very little. Hi, Greg. We can put business advertising on the signs. You know, we can pay for them that way if money's an issue. Hi, Greg. Just want to say, no wonder people are throwing out stuff, because it's 35 or 40 euro to dispose of a bed or a sofa. Thanks, Paul. Yeah, that's part of the problem. Now, there are days where you can dispose of mattresses for free. There have been council initiatives, but of course, you know, people probably want to get rid of the space immediately, and they are, as soon as they get wet and messy, and they're horrible and rusty. No pride in our country. Look at the Japanese. Clean up stadiums after a match. Needs to be taught at schools, just not hitting home. But we've been known to do that when we've been out watching big sporting events. The Irish have a reputation for cleaning up after themselves as well, you know. It's not just the Japanese. Rubbish, it should be. Greg, could you explain how the Green Party have so much control over our way of life, with that party only 3 or 4% in the polls? Changes they will force through will change rural life in this country, as well as higher taxes for motorists, and there's nothing we can do about it. I think I accept what you say, and that, you know, there is this thing in this country called proportional representation. But I don't think any party, any current party, unless one emerges, can avoid our commitments now, you see. So even if the Greens were to cease to exist as a political party, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Sinn Féin, and others, Aintu, Labour, I don't want to exclude any parties. There are commitments now that we are signed up to that have to be achieved, however they are achieved. I think sometimes maybe it's good to have the Greens in government with you, because you have to do what you have to do, and it's the Greens get the flak. But in reality, a lot of these notions haven't come from the Greens at all. They've come from the main larger political parties. So even if you were to eliminate the Greens from the political landscape, we still are going to have to meet these targets, because we have signed up to them internationally, and we are intertwined through the EU and other mechanisms with internationally. So, as I say, even in the absence of the Greens, unfortunately, you know, a little annoyances might go, but, you know, there's no future for turf in this country. There's no future for smoky coal. There's no future for ICE engines. That's just the reality. In my opinion, I'm open to correction, but as I say, every party, with the Greens in the government, with them or not, are committing quite similar stuff. How many litter wardens are employed in Donegal, and how many summonses are issued for littering? Not many and very few. It should be asked why there are melt and tidy towns, removed bins in the town. They were provided by the council. There's not one bin in the town now. I'm not sure. Bins can be bins in towns can actually be a like honey to a bee for rubbish, in that they are designed that you can only get small things in, but people can find people. It's the same with bottle banks. Once they fill up, people still dump around them. So in a way, bins can become litter hotspots. I'm not sure what's happening in Remelton or if that's the motivation, but I've seen it before. And particularly in the summer, that bins become an area where people just dump stuff, even when the bin's full. I wouldn't be surprised if that is the case, if that was the motivation for removing them. But as I say, I do not know. Okay, I'm going to continue going through your comments, right? So don't go anywhere if you're waiting for your view to be read out. But what we're going to do now is take the bingo numbers, and then we are... before the bingo numbers, what I want to mention to you, just before the bingo numbers, because I don't want anyone to miss out. The Highland Fling, as you know, we're going on a trip, and that's the Royal We. I'm not going unless Fionnuala insists that I go, which I doubt that's going to happen. But we, all the young, sexy people seem to be going on this trip to Glasgow, so that excludes me, between the 1st and 4th of May. And the reason I'm mentioning it again for you now is that we're down to the last 50 seats, right? So that's 25 couples, effectively, or 50 individuals. So if you want to go to Glasgow at the start of May, luxury coach transfer, as I've been mentioning, your ferry's booked, of course. No worries there. You can get some loads of fresh air. Look at the sea. Four-star accommodation at the beautiful Crown Plaza, Glasgow, which is close to Glasgow. So during the day or whenever, you can go and explore Glasgow. Your breakfast and your dinner is included. And we've got 3 nights of musical entertainment booked. There's going to be music popping up around the building anyway, don't you know? But on May 1st, David James and the Ryan Turner Band. May 2nd, we've got Declan Early and guests. And on May 3rd, Robert Mazzell, loads of guests as well, guest singers. And it's selling fast, as I say. We're down to the last 50 seats. So if you want to go, book. It's a €100 deposit, right? You can secure your place right now with a €100 deposit. It's non-refundable, obviously, because we've financial commitments to meet. And the total cost is £575. With everything that you get, even if you were to get breakfast and dinner added up, you know how much that would cost. 3 nights in a hotel, you know how much that would cost. To go in and see three fantastic acts, you know how much that would cost. And also, you know, your ferry, your coach, you know what I mean? So you add it all up. It's not for everyone. Not everyone has the cash, but some of you do, many of you do. And we want you to come with us and enjoy this fabulous trip and make friends for life. I have absolutely no doubt about that as well.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91260025.
Okay, 22 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 14th of February, 2023. It's time for the latest instalment of Community Garda information, and we welcome into studio today Garda Sean Sweeney, attached to the Bunkrana Garda Station. Sean, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. Thanks.
Great to
me.
Have you in, as always. Okay, let's get straight into it, because quite a bit to get through. And Garda is seeking the public's assistance in their investigation into a burglary in Letterkenny.
Yeah, that's right, Greg. This occurred at the business premises in the Glenview Business Park in the Mountaintop. So on Friday, the 10th of February, at approximately 3:20 a.m., the front door of the premises smashed and entry was gained. To leave an attempt had been made to open a number of cabinets, but they weren't successful and nothing was stolen. So we're particularly interested in any sightings of a male in the area who was on foot, who was wearing jeans, a trench coat, a beanie cap and a face mask. So we asked if anybody travelled on the road between the hospital and Mountaintop between 3 and 4 a.m. who's dashcam footage to make it available to us. Or if you have any relevant information, please contact Letterkenny on 91 67 100, or as a case of all our appeals, the confidential line 1800 666 111.
Yeah, that's a really distinctive look, so hopefully that helps in triggering someone's memory and they can check that footage. Right, okay, criminal damage in Lifford this time.
Yeah, this the early hours of Wednesday the 8th of February, a resident in the St Jude's court area of Lifford woke at approximately 1:45 in the morning and discovered a fire outside their house with their car being set alight in the driveway. So the fire services and Gardaí attended the scene, but the car was completely destroyed. But there was also extensive damage caused to the house as the fire spread to the roof area. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. So we're appealing to residents to make contact with Gardaí if they saw or heard anything on that date, maybe irrelevance. We're particularly interested in any sightings of two males who were in the area on foot shortly before 12:30 in the morning. So again, dash cam footage, anybody travelled between the hours of 12:15 and 1 a.m., please make it available to Gardaí in Letterkenny on 67100.
All right, criminal damage this time in Letterkenny.
Yeah, this incident happened on Friday the 10th of February at approximately 4:15 p.m. at Ashfield in Letterkenny. So a resident in the area reported someone had come to their house, cut electrical wires and cables above the electricity meter and the power being cut off. The result, the person is described as a young male who then left in a silver van. So appeal to anybody who may have seen this person or a silver van in the question in the area on that date. Contact Gardaí in Letterkenny again on 67100.
All right, this time we go to the Milford district. A theft incident there.
Yeah, this occurred in an area of Ballinagh, Fulcara. So a digger was on the back of a parked trailer outside of a house at that location. So the door was locked, but it was faulty. It was believed that entry was gained to it through there on the 8th of February at approximately 5 a.m. A C-Scope CLX-4 cable avoidance tool was stolen from the digger. So appeal to anybody, again, who's relevant information in relation to the theft, to contact Milford on 915-3060. We'll ask if anybody comes across a similar type of tool for sale to make contact with Gardaí.
Yeah, it's quite distinctive there. And if it pops up on the secondary market, you hope people will flag that. Because, you know, I mean, if you knowingly were to receive that as well, do you know what I mean? You find yourself involved in the crime, or at least the investigation. So as well to flag it to the Gardaí.
Exactly.
All right, you're looking for the public's help now in relation to a road traffic collision in the Finn Valley area.
Yeah, this occurred on Tuesday, 7th of February at approximately 11:30 a.m. So this is a two-vehicle road traffic collision at Navani in Balbafay. The road was closed for a period. Two people were taken to hospital. As a result, they received treatment for injuries, but none were believed to be life-threatening in nature. So appeal to anybody who witnessed the collision to come forward, or who travelled in that area in the morning around 11:30 a.m. whose dash cam footage, please make it available to Gardaí in Letterkenny again on 91 67 100.
All right, car theft now in Ballinabuffet.
Yeah, this was a black Renault Clio, registration was 06DL12855. It was taken from the Glenview Park on Donegal Road in Ballinabuffet Sunday the 12th of February between the hours of 8 p.m. and was later located at Burn Rock in Killygordon at 10:30 p.m. This car had been set alight and was completely destroyed by the fire. So appeal to anybody who observed the car in question on the roads between those times to contact Gardaí. We also appeal to residents of Glenview Park. If they saw or heard anything that date, they might assist in our investigation. And if anybody travelled in the area of Burn Rock, this is the Stranorl Road coming out of Kilgordon, between 9:30 p.m. and 10:30 p.m. his dash cam footage would be interested in speaking to them. Again, Letterkenny on 67100.
Yeah, and of course, too, as well as the dash cam footage, now in this day and age, and particularly in areas where there's groups of houses, a lot of people have the video doorbells that pick up all manner of things. So at a very high quality as well. Right, okay. We've been getting quite a few calls on this, Sean, and of course it's been brought to the attention of Gardaí as well. Antisocial behaviour that may be on the face of it for those responsible doesn't seem quite serious, but listen, something really serious could come from this. So great to see it on Garda's radar.
Yeah, absolutely. As you said, we've seen a lot of reports recently in relation to this, involving a group of youths at various locations in Letterkenny. So we want to reassure the public that each matter as reported to us will be fully investigated. And we advise anybody who's subject to this type of antisocial behaviour, please report it without delay. So additional patrols take place at these various locations that have been brought to our attention, and we are looking into matters.
All right, that's really important now. So any of you who contacted us, you've heard from Sean there that all calls are logged and investigated, and additional patrols are now taking place in the locations that have been mentioned. And I think that's ever more important then for parents or guardians. And listen, I'm not saying it's young people, but that's what the reports are. And I'm not expecting you to comment on that, Sean. But, you know, no one wants to knock at the door to say someone in their house has been involved in something that could end up being quite serious. Say, for instance, if it is something being thrown in a car and the car leaves the road. There's a chain of events there that started with that item being thrown, and it can get quite serious quite quickly. No one wants that call. So I think a timely reminder for people to make sure they know, if it's young people involved, that they know where the young people are and the potential consequences of their actions and the impact it could have on the wider family.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. Yeah.
Okay, right, good to see action in that regard. Upcoming community engagement meetings, this time, Bonkrana District.
Yeah, these meetings will take the form of an open forum. So this will be a great opportunity for us to receive feedback, queries from the public in relation to any issues that matter to them, and also for us to converse with members in their communities face-to-face. So Sergeant Paul Wallace, he's a Divisional Crime Prevention Officer. He'll be in attendance to offer crime prevention and home security advice. Advice will also be given in relation to fraud and scams, and the local community, Gardaí, will be there in attendance also. So the details are as follows. Monday the 20th of February at 7 p.m, this will be in the Exchange of Mokrana. On Wednesday the 22nd of February, again at 7 p.m, Greencastle Community Centre. And on Tuesday the 28th of February, Colgan Hall, Carindonagh. We're hoping for a great turnout and we look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, and it's also an opportunity, as previous meetings, for people who are maybe aware of some proposed changes in how the county is policed. And it's not down unfortunately, Sean, these decisions are above your pay grade. But it's an opportunity for people to sort of feedback into that process as well, I think. Right, so that is Monday the 20th of February at 7 p.m. at the Exchange Bonkrana, Wednesday the 22nd of February at 7 p.m. in Greencastle Community Centre, and Tuesday the 28th of February at 7 p.m. in the Colgan Hall in Carindonagh. Sean, thank you.
Thank you, Greg.
Really good to have you in again. Thanks so much. That's Garda Sean Sweeney of the Bonkrana Garda Station. That was the Community Garda information item for this Tuesday, the 14th of February. And it will be available for you to watch back or listen back across our social media and on our website later. And just a reminder for you, by the way, that we're continuing our competition. We've got a lovely pizza and wine for two. And we also have a lovely bouquet of flowers. All you have to do is message into us or call into us and tell us who deserves it in your life and why. Maybe you've got a story of how you first met or something very romantic they did for you. Anyway, it's an opportunity to get your love for them broadcast on the radio as well. So if you want to be in with a chance to win either of those two prizes, text in your love story, just a short text, we're not looking for the whole thing, or call Caroline on 07491 25000. A caller says, on one hand, we're being told we have to reduce herd numbers and reforestation. Then we've all this disgusting dumping going on. It doesn't add up. Yeah, I suppose one is the environment and one's the climate. And I'm not saying they're mutually exclusive, but I suppose they're, to an extent, two different issues. Now, Tommy Tiernan has begun banning mobile phones at his gigs. Last week at his Dublin gig, he provided the audience with phone pouches. It's a patented system which creates phone-free spaces for artists. Now, we can all maybe speculate as to his motivation. Some of his gigs have been quite controversial, but also, too, I suppose it gets people to focus on the act and not looking at the act through their screen on their phone. And if the truth be told, you know, how many of you videoed concerts or whatever it might be, or even school plays, dare I even say it, do you really watch the footage back? You probably don't even watch the video of your wedding back. But anyway, we've the phones out, maybe not in the moment. Conall Gallen is a comedian, of course, legendary comedian. Conall, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
Not too bad. Can you understand Mr. Tiernan's motivations for this? Is it annoying when you're up on stage if there's lots of phones out? Or do you see it maybe as a marketing tool?
I would say it's a marketing tool. Phones never bothered me. I take advantage of it rather than complain about it. You get people filming. I mean, at every show, there was a time before mobile phones, you weren't allowed to take cameras and stuff like that. And every theatre always says photography and video, they're absolutely forbidden, but it doesn't stop it. And I don't know how you could really stop it. Putting your phone into a pouch.
I think maybe it depends on different styles, does it? Because, you know, maybe if he's starting a new show, he's afraid that if much of the show, say, for instance, in Cork is broadcast, that, you know, people then in Donegal will hear the punchlines or the gags. I don't know. But yours is more, you know, you've got a different flow to your show, don't you? I mean, if the phone goes off, I'm sure you're on that person like you're on it like a bonnet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a week before last, we were in the Millennium Forum in Derry, and just as I come on the stage singing a song, there was a lady in the front row, and she was on the phone. So I sort of looked at it, you know, and sang away then. And then she gave me the phone, and I kept it on the stage for about 10 or 15 minutes and threatened to ring her contact, you know. Yeah. But she was enjoying the crack, you know. And then her partner... The phone was on the table, and the next thing, this came up, husband-to-be, and it was her partner sitting beside her in the front row, rang her phone. You know, so it's a bit of fun.
Lovely, yeah, exactly. And there are some comedians, I think Jack D, Michael McIntyre, they're amongst those that sort of incorporate the phones into the gigs. I think Ricky Gervais has done a bit of it as well. So it goes from comedian. And listen, each individual's entitled to do what they want to do. But Conall, do you have a view on people maybe having the phone out and not being in the moment? Because as I said just before I started speaking to you, I do wonder if a lot of this footage ever sees the light of day. Yours will, because you've done something with it. But I think the rest of it, I don't know, does it?
Oh, yeah, well, you're probably right, because, I'm guilty of it as well, but not answering a phone or having a noisy phone, but filming an act, Paul Simon in particular. And again, and having said that, you're right, I filmed parts of it and I have never looked at it, and that was a few years ago. It's just that on the moment you feel it, you can capture some of it. But I remember reading, it was a young lady who passed away very, very early in her life, and... she said, don't bother taking photographs and filming and stuff. Just enjoy the moment. You know, again, by the same token, anything you look, you film, you probably won't look at it anyway. So you might as well enjoy it instead of looking at the phone.
Yeah, and you're sort of looking at this little screen and you've got the actual act that you've been waiting for months to see up on the stage. It doesn't compute sometimes.
And you watch it and you look at it on a phone, through a phone. Ah, yeah, it doesn't compute. But we're all the same. We're all the same. It's one of those phenomena. It's people have mobile phones. People can turn them onto silent. You know, they always ask you in theatres, you know, please make sure your mobile phones are switched off. We all make mistakes. Somebody leaves a phone on, and I enjoy it sometimes, you know, somebody leaves a phone on. The phone rings, and it rings once and it rings twice, and you wonder why they don't answer it. And it's some lady who's, or man, whatever, who's got his phone in a handbag. And can't find the handbag, finally find the handbag, find the purse, find the phone, finally get the phone open on the phone. And at this stage, it's rung about 12 times, and they're pure mortified.
Yeah. I was at a gig in Derry there not so long ago, and as the act was coming on stage, it's flashed up on the screen, you know, no video recording or whatever. And then she walks out, and then she says, you know, get your phones out and don't forget hashtag whatever it is, or, at, you know, so I suppose it depends. And I was like, well, I don't know.
Yeah, it depends on the, I don't know. I'd like to see that system working of pouches and whatever, no signal areas and stuff. It seems to be to me an awful lot of hassle.
Yeah. Tommy Tiernan skirts a thin enough old line, and sometimes he crosses over it. I think all comedians are maybe having difficulties in that regard, Connell. I mean, if you had to, you know, because of controversies, or it can blow up and you can be cancelled if you offend an individual or a group, have you had to tailor your act with that in mind, Connell? Is it something that you're aware of in the back of your head that, you know, I can't say this on, I'm not saying you were ever terribly controversial, don't get me wrong, but do you find you're having to check yourself now at your
case? No, I mean, there are, I mean, I suppose everybody has their red line or whatever, you know. There are things I won't discuss on stage. There are things I do and maybe I shouldn't. But I'm my own guide. That's the only guide I can have. And, I know some of the comedians can be very, very upsetting to some people. But I did a thing one time with Jimmy Carr, and he was a great point he made was that he gets on stage and he insults some particular group of people and everybody laughs. And then he insults your group of people and you're taking the hump, but you're okay laughing at somebody else. You know, so
that's the human condition, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Yeah, but so where do you draw the line? I can talk about this guy over here and you can laugh away about him. And once I talk about you and he laughs at you, it's not on.
Yeah.
You know, so there is, but again, that's something that you just have to gauge on a night or on a show. I mean, I'm not politically correct, and I actually advertise the fact that I'm not politically correct. I'm a lot of it's just too much bull, you know.
I think you actually just says politically erect. I presume that was a Freudian slip. have you any good jokes for Valentine's Day?
Oh, Valentine's Day. I should have been prepared. I knew you were going to ask me that. Well, the lovely story, the couple are out for the dinner, you know, and they're sitting in the hotel in the dining room, you know, and holding hands across the table, you know, and candlelight and the roses and the wine and the soft music, and it's all so romantic. And then the waiter comes down with the dinner, and they start to eat, and they're eating away and looking into one another's eyes. And the next thing, she slid off the chair, slid completely off the chair, right onto the table. And your man didn't seem to notice. He kept eating away. And the next thing, the waiter comes over. He says, "Excuse me, sir, but I don't think you realise, but your wife is after sliding under the table." Your man never even looked up. He says, "I don't think you realise, my wife is after walking in the door."
It's a small world.
Connell, romance Greer. In all its forms. Romance in all its forms, Greg.
Greer, any gigs coming up that you can flag to the public?
We're in the middle of a stand-up. We're coming to the Greenan Theatre. The date, I can't remember it now at the moment. We're coming to the Greenan Theatre anyway, no, fairly shortly. Check the box office, the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town. I'm trying to think of anywhere near. That's probably all the Donegal ones.
Good stuff. Well, people can check out your socials and all. You're active on there and see where
you're
at. Yeah, but Green on Letterkenny, Abbey Hotel. The website is irishjoker.com. Keep it lit, Connell. Thanks so very much indeed.
And you too. And come here. Happy Valentine's Day.
And same to you, my dear. You'll be sliding under the table later. Good luck. good luck, Connell. That's Connell Gallen. A caller says, immigration, in my opinion, suits the government parties as the youth will not be here to vote with their feet. Another, regarding the emerging trend of young people leaving Ireland, have absolutely empathy with all the refugees coming here from war-torn countries, but it's obviously adding huge additional stresses on already overstretched services in Ireland, housing, healthcare and education, etc. It is frustrating as a working parent to see the long-term free lifestyle that these people are having, as it is seeing your own citizens claiming social welfare because they're better off at home and it doesn't pay me to work. Surely there are contributions all of these people can make to our communities to utilise their skills and enhance our communities. Example, helping out with charities, tidy towns, organisations, painting fences, helping with festivals, youth work, cleaning up litter. This is not free work and I know CE schemes exist. It should be compulsory. They're getting paid in social welfare. Well, listen, some changes to timelines of that kind of support are in the offing. There are, and I'm sure you're aware, there are already an awful lot of people that are currently here at the moment who are actively involved in charities and in the local communities, and also a lot of them cannot work even if they wanted to. But certainly an awful lot... some changes could be made there. Janet Dean is chair of the Duncan Ely Community Limited. Good morning, Janet. How are you?
Good morning.
It's
I'm
great.
Very good, thank you, and happy Valentine's to you.
And same to you. It's great to have you on the programme. Your organisation always looking for volunteer board members at Duncan Ely Community Limited. So we'll start with that. Duncan Ely, how's things in Duncan Ely at the moment? It's a lovely town, but it's on the side of a road, and maybe investments being drawn either side of it, and you know, some things that would have been seen as the heart of the town and are no longer there. It's always an ongoing piece of work, isn't it, to maintain that core centre of an area, really. Is that a challenge Duncan Ely's facing, do you think?
It is, yes. I mean, we've obviously lost a lot over the years from the mart, the post office. I mean, it was a full street of shops and businesses when I, you know, used to come on holidays when I was very young. So there's been big changes, and it's, yeah, how we can recreate ourselves. And I mean, we represent, it's not quite in the name, we represent Brucklass, Killity, St John's Point and the surrounding areas as well. And it is all the one community. So, but we are very blessed. We have an incredibly beauty. We have a great community. And it is how we can to look forward. But the things that we can do need people to come on board. We have a fantastic structure in our governance, in our committee or board, but there's only eight of us, so there's a limit to what we can do. We celebrated our 10-year anniversary last year with a festival, which was very, very well received, starting off with, you know, things like sunrise yoga and many other things with the local traditional O'Donnell's school in front of the McSwine's Castle, doing a track session. And so we have great culture here. And it's just to grow. And so I just heard you were talking about people leaving and their young people. We have a very high number of young people that leave here. Mm-hmm. And it would be amazing to be able to create businesses. And now that people can work from home, that young people, not as many young people, it's not that they shouldn't leave, but that they don't have to leave. And if they do, that they have something to come back to as well.
Yeah, and we know the council are involved in a number of endeavours in that regard. And I hope, and I'm sure it's the case, that the focus isn't always maybe on, you know, the Geltocht area specifically, or Inishowen specifically, or Letterkenny, that the south of the county, because it is quite a distance from Lifford, and we're kind of in a no man's land sometimes, you feel, between, you know, Sligo, Leitrim and Donegal County Council. There can be a sense, whether it's a rally or not, that it can be slightly more north Donegal focused, and we've seen that too with the splitting of the county boundaries. Now, I know I'm talking one is as a constituency level and one's a council level, but it's perception too. And sometimes in the south of the county, you can feel a little underrepresented and left behind. And that's no reflection on the elected representatives. It's in terms of, you know, well, what's being put in here, what IDA jobs are coming there, what, you know, infrastructure is being. You know, as I say too, I'm fully conscious that there's great work going on in terms of road infrastructure in that area as well. But anyway, I am fully behind you in what you're saying. We also want to speak to you about McSwine's Castle near Duncan Ely. Some of our wonderful history and infrastructure we can retain, and others, I suppose, there's a cost-benefit reality as well. I don't know into which column the castle falls, but it's it's very close to falling into the sea.
Perilously,
that's it, exactly, Janet. So what is the situation for those that aren't aware? Discuss the building and its situation at the moment, Janet.
Yeah, well, the building itself is being quite undermined, and the storms and obviously the higher seas have taken its toll. There is land which does not now exist on the far side of the castle. We had a public meeting last week to share the findings of the... We had a grade one conservation architect who did the survey on both the castle and the Kiltie Cross and graveyard and church. So we did have good news and bad news. The Kiltie Cross was a lot better than we thought, but the castle was a lot worse than we thought. So in a just, obviously they can't say exactly, but, you know, 40 years and any money that we could spend or get grants for could maybe reduce that slightly, but it is probably going to be inevitable.
And what is left at the moment of the castle?
Sorry, oh, what's left? Well, a lot of the castle was taken in the 1800s to build Killybegs Chapel. So there's a part of a tower and another wall. So it's kind of quite... The way it is, it's kind of in a bay, so it's very iconic, just even what's left, and very scenic. But I suppose the important thing for us would be to do would to preserve going forward what is there now. So things like archaeological dig, maybe, to find out what is there, scanning. I was amazed at the 3D scans that they had of the Kiltie Cross, etc. So we'd like to get that done. So no matter what happens, we'd have that future. So models could be made and different things like that. Maybe 3D tours online. What we really would love to get, but which we've never found yet, is when the stone was taken to Killybegs, we've never found a sketch or a painting or anything that was done of what it was originally. So that would be amazing.
And that wasn't unusual. I think there was a castle or a very stately home or whatever on Bell's Isle further south along the coast, and it was the stone was harvested from it, I think maybe even to some extent to build the pier in Mullan Sol. And in some way, Janet, it's nature that will take this castle. And in a way, you know, that's its history to Absolutely, some extent. Yeah. Do you know, like, it stood there until nature took it because it was built so close. Like, I don't see a tragedy in that, if you know what I mean. If a road was going through it, I would be going, hold on a second. But I don't know, there's something like, if it is lost to the sea, it is its history.
Absolutely it is. And I suppose that we have an emotional attachment to it, and it's hard seeing that with each storm, that, you know, there's a little bit more gone and a little bit more gone. So, but yes, and that's where it's important to probably make the most of the grants that we can get to be able to preserve it for future, maybe from an artistic point of view. Mm-hmm. And that kind of thing.
Has it ever been excavated? Like, you talked about, you know, an archaeological dig. Has that site ever, you know, had a... Go ahead, Janet.
Yeah, no, it hasn't. And that's something that at the public meeting, Duncan, the architect, really, it struck me because he said even the scaffolding for a site like that would be something like 100,000. And then... you've got to have the weather that you can actually do something with it. And it's a very precarious site. So that kind of money could be get put towards doing an archaeological dig where there's something that could be used for the future.
Yeah.
That we know more about it, but also it's for visitors, for the local people to have something that we can then keep visually, you know, and there's lots of, and obviously new things coming out now, which are more futuristic and, I don't know, like maybe laser things that can be projected and that can be made. And so it's just doing what we can with what's there now before we lose more.
Or even retaining some of the stone before it's lost and build a small-scale version of what's already there further back. And, you know, there's lots of options, I presume. I like your laser ones, though. That sounds more exciting. I want smoke as well. flying drones.
Smoke and lights.
So this is the type of project that's discussed at meetings of the Dunkennelly Community Limited. If you can spare a handful of hours a month and want to help the community, and it's the broader area, as you heard, taken in St. John's, another beautiful part of the world as well. It's just a couple of hours a month. You can email DuncanEelyCommunity@gmail.com or PM the Duncan Ely Community Limited Facebook page and get involved. You know, people maybe have a little bit more time in their hands, and what better way to spend your time than preserving and enhancing your local community? Everybody's welcome. Janet, it's been lovely speaking to you. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much for asking us.
And keep up the great work. Thanks so much, Janet. Goodbye.